Axiom.
That's right. Chase William DeMace, 12 o'clock hour. Tim Hasselbeck time. ESPN NFL analyst. He's presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and BetUS.com. You can cash in on all your favorites. Just sign up at BetUS.com. Use the promo code 1025 for up to a 200% sign-on bonus. Timmy, how are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Well, we're doing fantastic. The Titans squeak one out once again, three in a row, and they go into the off week 3-2 with their record finally above 500, but a close one against the Washington Commanders team that I don't think is all that good. But what were some of your takeaways from the Titans' win over Washington?
Yeah, I mean, I would kind of agree with your assessment. It was kind of like, how do we feel about this? You know, like, do you feel great about it? Look, you feel great about it because it's a win. But I think encouraging that they called 28 runs for Derrick Henry. I mean, that's, I think probably everyone, agrees that that's a good formula for them. Certainly was not perfect. I think that, there's probably still a lot to be desired, but I think we felt that way, last year as well. Think like, okay, was it an impressive win? Was it not? Was it, what kind of style points are you giving them? But at the end of the year, you look up and you have, plenty more wins than losses. So I do think, just generally speaking, to kind of right the ship after how things started, I think, as you said, going into the bye week, considering, some of the things that have happened in terms of injuries, whether it be, for just a few weeks or for the entire season, it's been a good job, from that. And think about it this way, too. Okay, I believe the Bills are the best team in the AFC, probably the best team in the NFL. The Titans get embarrassed by the Bills. I mean, embarrassed. And so to respond, with a couple of tough wins, or three tough wins for that matter, I think is a good job of Mike Vrabel of kind of settling things down, finding a way to get wins, maybe, try to create a new identity for the team and have a chance as you get closer to the halfway point.
Okay, so you use that word identity. What is the identity, though, of this Titans team?
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I think you're trying to figure that out, but I think it's clear what they tried to do this past week, which was, look, we're going to call more runs. That's what we're going to do. And I think the thing is, when you do that, I think the plan would be to play really good defense. I think they probably feel like that's what they can do. And you look at last week, like Carson Wentz, and he wasn't perfect, obviously, but like he's 25 of 38 for nearly 360 yards. I would think that pressure on the quarterback is an area where they need to improve. I would think that, causing turnovers, things of that nature, like those are things they need to do a better job of. So identity of the team, look, I think the team is going to be this way. They want to run the football. They want their quarterback to be efficient, not turn the football over. That's how they're going to play. And I think that they need to, identify, guys in the passing game that can step up and help them so that when those things aren't going great, that you have an opportunity to still move the football and score. That's how I would see them. I think that's, if I really were to say, like, what's lacking right now, that would be what's lacking.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us. I've been guilty of this. I've heard other people say this. When it comes to Ryan Tannehill, that he needs to get rid of the ball quicker. And we all know the offensive line that he has right now. I mean, it's being put together with duct tape and baling wire with injuries and things not working out, all of that. But how much is it that he does need to help himself out and get rid of the ball, and how much of it is he's looking downfield and he's seeing that this receiving core that is also depleted is not getting open?
Yeah, to me, that's the bigger issue, is guys not getting open. I definitely am of the school, Chase, like you are, which is why you've said it. It's like, hey, look, the quarterback can help by, not holding on to the football forever, right? You know, right guard whiffs, and you know, you have a bust up front, but the quarterback plays with great timing and anticipation, and we see the great quarterbacks do that, and you know, all of a sudden it's a first down instead of, you know, second and 14. I don't feel like I've seen opportunities where I think, well, listen, that's just Ryan, you know, not anticipating. That's not, you know, that's not helping the guys in front, you know, in front of him play better by getting the ball out quicker. That's not what I've seen. I've seen instances where it's like, look, where are you going with the ball? And, you know, as we sit here and say, hey, like, don't turn it over. You know, don't put the defense in a bad spot by giving them a short field by turning it over. You know, that's hard to do. I mean this, and I'm certainly not trying to, you know, be here, you know, making excuses for him, but I think it's been tough. I think it's been a struggle. I don't think the guys around him have, in terms of receivers, have made it easy.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, I went back last night and just watched the defense, because my question to the guys was, listen, how long can the defense continue to carry this team in the second half before they can't do it anymore? And I went back and I looked at some numbers. This defense, after five games, is much better than the defense last year after five games. When you're talking sacks, interceptions, fumble recoveries, forced fumbles. So do you see this as even with all of their injuries, that this is still a top-ranked defense, even though they don't have a Bud Dupree, even though they don't have a Harold Landry? Amani Hooker has been in and out of the lineup because of concussion, but Vrabel has put together this defense in such a way that the next man up is ready to go.
Listen, they've played hard. I mean, I'll give you another stat, like, for them, just in terms of, like, the carrying. The Commanders were 1 of 11 on third down.
Yeah. Like, didn't get one until the very end of the game, I think.
You can get, like, you're going to win games when you get off the field, right? Like, here's the question I have in terms of how good the defense is right now. Like, this is the question I have. Of the five games that they've played, okay, how many good offenses have they faced? Like, I would argue one.
One, yeah. Really.
And I get it, like, the Giants are in a good spot right now. And, you know, look, they've run the ball well with Barkley. I mean, I think you can find certain things. They're, like, you know, the Raiders, look, they clearly have talent on their team. The Colts, you know, look, I've been singing their praises all offseason and stuff. And, you know, it's been a struggle for them. And then you got the Commanders. I just think this. I think they've played one good offense. And so, I think, you know, in week 7 and 8, they're going to play bad offenses. You know, they're not going to play a good offense again until week 9. So I just think that, like, how long can they keep them in, you know, how long can they play well enough that they're keeping them in it? I think they can do it through week 9, you know, to be honest with you. So that's the thing I have, and I think that as we sit here at this point in the season, you can ask the questions about, like, okay, but who have you beaten? How have you beaten them? How have the games played out? How good are you really? That's the thing that I think it's hard to identify right now.
With that being said, where do they rank in regards to the AFC? Obviously, they're number one in their division, but that's not saying much, because their division hasn't been good thus far. But as far as the AFC, where do you believe they rank?
Well, listen, I think Buffalo is the best team in the AFC. I've said that. I think, you know, Baltimore to me is a team that is going to be in it. And Kansas City is the team that I think ends up winning their division. You know, and I think you start getting past that. Look, the teams that I would put in the mix, Chargers, you know, Cleveland's going to get their quarterback back with, you know, a relatively decent record. You know, how things shake out in terms of Tua's health in Miami, I think, ends up being a factor. So, look, I don't think they're in awful shape as you look at it and say, okay, winning their division, or at least in the lead in their division, can they win their division? Yeah, they can. Can you make an argument that they're still, you know, the best team in their division? Sure, I think you can still do that. And, you know, with a game against with a game against Indianapolis before they get it figured out, offensively, like, that's a good thing for the Titans. So, yeah, I think they're still in the mix, which is a really good thing, because I don't think they've played great offensively, and I think in some ways they're fortunate to be where they are.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Coming up next, we'll get more into around the league stuff, including some questions from Willie as well. But first, Derek, tell us about Cool Springs MD.
Yes, I will. So all you men that are out there listening, Tim, you included, I need to tell you about Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife, Daphne, along with that experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, that's including me, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune systems, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time to achieve a healthy lifestyle. So, what are you waiting on, man? Give Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and Cool Springs MD a call today for an appointment at 615-486-3458. That's 615-486-3458. Or visit their website at coolspringsmd.com.
Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, is with us. He's presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and BetUS.com. Cash in on all your favorites. Sign up at BetUS.com. Use the promo code 102.5 for up to 200% sign-on bonus.
Hey, Chase, I think we need to turn this off, okay?
Chase is seeing red right now.
I need to change jerseys.
Yes.
The Braves with two outs are down.
Chase came flying into the station today with the loud red Braves jersey. He was ready to go.
Tim, this is not good. This is not a good start.
Four consecutive singles with two outs and nobody on for the Phils, and it's 2-0 Philadelphia.
Willie, I'm going to let you take over for a second.
You got to lock in. You got to focus.
Yeah.
Chase needs a reset. So, Tim, let me just ask the question that is all across America right now. What is the solution? How do we come to the right medium here on roughing the passer?
I think you realize that the game stinks when you play them backups and don't hit the quarterback. I mean, I mean, I'm joking, but I'm dead serious. Look, that's why the rules are the way they are. The officials are going to err on the side of throwing the flag for roughing the passer. I mean, think back to some of the calls, and they've tried to adjust this a little bit where it's got to be forcible contact to the head, but like, you know, a guy has his hands up because he's not going to get to the quarterback, so he's maybe going to try to bat the football, and, you know, his wrist barely, you know, grazes the face mask of a quarterback, and you get roughing the passer. Like, you know, even though the NFL doesn't love that, they would rather that than playing a bunch of backups. And so, like, I just think it's one of these situations, Willie. Like, the answer is, and as much as the fans want to be upset about it and be like, hey, Tom Brady, like, that's not roughing, they don't want to watch Blaine Gabbert play. They don't want to watch Kyle Trask play.
Nothing right? personal, and but so, you're right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But, I mean,
okay, how about this? How about this, Tim? And we discussed this yesterday. To our credit, we brought this up, and I noticed there's an article on ESPN's website proposing this. I think Chris Jones may have said something after the game. But should there be a challenge system to it? There's a target, a targeting foul challenge in college. There is goaltender interference challenge in hockey. It's not perfect, but it's
a home run review in baseball.
Well, that's a different. That's not a judgment call, right? That's either here's the baseball, the collision at home plate, right? There is a rule, and you can challenge the rule because you want to eliminate a really bad call like we saw last night. Are you up for that?
That impacts the game. Yeah. That impacts the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So look, if you want to say, look, it can be challenged, I'm easily on board with that. You can get me easily on board with that. The only thing I would tell you, and I think that this is the case across college and pro football. Look, the game I called on Saturday night, you know, ended at midnight. Oh. They're not looking to make these games longer. You know, and you reference these other sports. Look, I mean, Willie, I don't need to tell you, like, you know, with baseball, like, you know, and trying to shorten those games and make them, you know, more fun to watch. Like, do we want more challenges?
You have to compensate. This is what baseball has had to come to grips with, and it's taken them 15 years too long to do it. But they're finally doing the clocks and some of the things that you can do to shave off 15 minutes somewhere else so that you can still do the replay stuff. To me, that would be the mentality, is to offset it somehow.
Yeah, and so I would just say, like, I know this for a fact. Like, nothing is more polarizing than the targeting call in college football. Like, if you're an announcer on TV talking about, you know, whether it was targeting or not, you immediately, like, you know, hate the team that the player, you know, who's Carl for, you know, targeting is playing for. You know what I mean? Or you're blind, or, you know, you have no idea what football is. Like, I mean, I'm being serious. I mean, that's literally what it is. And so, you know, with roughing, like, to say, like, all right, hey, we're going to review that stuff now. The only thing I would just say is, like, as much as the NFL has a rule for it, and as much as I can tell you that, like, I think you can find five plays this weekend where, quarterbacks are kind of thrown down in a similar fashion to Brady, and there's not a flag thrown. I mean, it happened on Sunday night with Lamar. So, like, there's not consistency with it. The only thing that is consistent in general is they are trying to protect the quarterback, and they are going to err on the side of protecting the starter because they don't want guys to be out. You don't want to be down. I mean, look at all the backup quarterbacks we've seen play already this season. Like, it's just not – look, listen, when they do these matchups, like, it's to see Dak Prescott, not Cooper Rush. And let me tell you something. As a career backup, okay, like, as much as it pains me to say that, that's the reality. Like, no one wants to see the backups.
Fair point.
I wanted to see you play, Tim. Don't worry.
I mean, other than Chase.
Other than Chase.
Maybe my mom.
And that goes without saying.
I'm not sure. That's
Oh, are Tim's playing today? I think Matt is, too. We're going to watch Matt instead.
Sorry. Exactly. Right? So maybe not my mom. It is just Chase. You're right.
I got you, bro.
So, Tim, here's another trend that is everywhere you watch, especially pro football, but I think it's at the college level too, and that is the tendency now to go for it on a fourth and three, a fourth and four. And, of course, last night, the decision the Raiders made to go for two. It's just way back. There's no longer the Dick Vermeil chart, and everybody just goes by that, right? Is this a cycle, or do you think this is a permanent change to the way the football is played?
Oh, we lost him. He got zapped.
Oh, man, he's in the big house.
Got Billy Zappied.
Yeah.
By the way, leadoff double for Ronald Acuna in the bottom of the first.
No outs. Dansby Atlanta at the plate.
And this is something, again, that is a result of the change of the baseball playoff format while we get Tim back on, is the Braves have the advantage with the bye. They get to face the number three starter, Ranger Suarez, for Philly, and they don't have to face Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler, two much, much better pitchers. So that's something the Braves hopefully will try to take advantage of.
I think we have Tim back with us. Timmy?
All right.
We lost you there for
Tim, a second. I don't know if you heard the whole question, yeah, but cycle or permanent change to the way football is played with the go-for-it mentality?
Oh, I think cycle, because I think you're going to see eventually you're going to see it lose games. Like, it lost the game last night, or at least, you know, prevented them from having an opportunity to, you know, extend the football game. You know, the Chargers-Browns, what an awful example of how it works, right? Like, you know, the Chargers go for it on 4th and 2 with like a minute 30 left. Cleveland's got no timeouts left. And I think, you know, I guess the Chargers were up 2 at that point, 1 or 2 at that point. I mean, they just missed a field goal because they missed a field goal. Like, Brandon Staley doesn't pay for it, but just an awful decision. So I have to say, I didn't even like the decision by Andy to go for 2 after that, you know, that last touchdown pass, you know, from Mahomes to Kelce. I thought they should have kicked it and made it 8, because if you kick it and make it 8, you know, at that point, like, they could go score a touchdown on you, and then they have to go for 2 just to tie you. So the fact that they went for 2, which actually opened them up to losing the game, I didn't like that decision.
Now, Tim, what do you think of the Carolina Panthers situation they have? They fire Matt Rhule. They hire interim Wilkes to be their coach, at least until the remainder of the season. Now you're sort of hearing Buffalo Bills have inquired about Christian McCaffrey and the possibility, you know, maybe DJ Moore being traded. And I told the guys, listen, if I'm a owner, I'm not trying to blow up this roster just because the head coach wasn't good. I may trade McCaffrey because he has been injury prone and he has a big number coming up as far as cap wise, but I'm not getting rid of my best wide receiver just because my coach didn't work out.
I would agree with that. Like, to me, McCaffrey's got to go, though. Like, age, injury history, you know, the likelihood that when you do hire a new coach, you figure out quarterback, like, you know, the ship will have sailed at that point. So, like, to me, I no doubt would be, you know, moving on from that. You know, you look at DJ Moore, who was drafted in 18. Look, I think that, you know, because of lack of production, things like that, they probably end up having him for a little while. Like, so I don't think you have to blow everything up, because I do think what you probably want to set yourself up, you know, in terms of success to be able to have is draft a quarterback, have him on a rookie deal, and then be able to support him with a good football team, right? Like, that's what you're going to try to do with the new coach. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think McCaffrey fits that plan, but, you know, some of the other players on the team that maybe have to get extended, like, they may still fit that plan.
He is Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Okay. Hey, put your rally cap on. You never know.
Hey, it's fine.
It's early.
It's fine. We got plenty of time. We got plenty of time. Hey, I'll cheer for you when you start again.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Tim Hasselbeck joining us from ESPN. He's presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and BetUS.com. Cash in on all your favorites. Sign up at BetUS.com. Use the promo code 1025 for up to a 200% sign-on bonus. Always a pleasure to talk to Tim Hasselbeck. Coming up next, we're going to begin the process of revisiting our 10 Titans questions that Willie asked us at the beginning of the year as Austin Riley gets on with a walk. This is good for my Atlanta Braves. That's all coming up next here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. But can you beat Vegas this football season? I bet you can. Superbook Sports gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas, Nevada. No fancy computer algorithms, no guys across the pond setting lines for American sports. Nope. It's just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at the Superbook in Vegas. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds boosts and promo bets that you will find anywhere. So why wouldn't you make it your official sports book just like I did? You can download it right now. It's very easy. Sign up. and you can bet on whatever you want. They got the baseball playoffs going on right now, obviously college football, the NFL. I like Thursday night. I would take the Bears. It's currently a pick 'em. We'll see how that line moves. So download the app today, or you can go to superbook.com and start your battle against Vegas right now. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.